You want to open your Bibles, we're going to start in the book of 1 Peter. And be in that a lot tonight, maybe switch around a little bit in other things. Talk about the theme, let's be a holy people. So if someone were to ask you, are you a holy person or are you a saint, what would you answer? Would you say, no, I'm neither? Or would you say, I sure am? Or would you say, would one answer be wrong and one right? Or could they be a combination of the two? Answer we give, I think, depends on how we understand how the Bible uses those terms. There in that first chapter of 1 Peter, verse 6. Well, it's about the first. It's about being holy, but because it's written, be holy for I am holy. But a few places in the New Testament, Paul or the writers refer to Christians as saints. Sometimes we have misconceptions on what those words in the Bible mean. What might better say is people who are not Christians, and maybe some Christians seem to think you have that word saint, that means somebody who is there, who is perfect, never makes mistakes, he's a high-level Christian, or she is. But we know that's not what the word means. The Bible says, be holy for I am holy. We know we cannot be holy by ourselves. We can only be holy if we seek to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. We can be holy if we live by His Word, obey it, live by it. I think I said this morning in Sunday school that somebody said we usually know what the Bible says about a certain subject, but do we do what it says? It said knowing what the Bible teaches and living it out are two different things. So we need to be a people who are living out our faith, be a people who are thankful all the time that we have come out of a kingdom of darkness. If you want to hold the passage there in 1 Peter, we're going to go back to Colossians for a moment. Colossians 1 is where Paul uses that phrase about being transferred, conveyed, or different words out of different kingdoms. We know the Lord's coming back for us. We talked about that last Sunday night. He's coming back. It's reality. But we know that He's called us out of a dark world to now be in the light of the gospel. There in chapter 1, verse 13, He says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness, conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. So here we have the thought that we once were a people that did not follow the Lord. We can look around and see maybe others who may have been farther into sin than we were, but we know one sin can lead you astray. And here we know that it says we've been rescued, or one verse says rescued from the dominion of darkness. Dominion, one that Satan controls, and now we're in the kingdom of light the Lord controls. We know that most of us, I think, prefer light to darkness. We know without the Lord, we can have no light. I think we have, like maybe in our own homes, if we live there for a long time, we might be able to find our way around in the dark and not fall or something. But we still prefer to have lights on when we go around the house. It says here in that Colossian letter, in that 12th verse, that we give thanks that the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So to have an inheritance, we must be in light. This morning, Kevin talked about the prodigal son, the loving father, the prodigal brother, perhaps. But he had been in the light, but then he had left the light of the father's home and then went into bad living. But the father continued to love him, and he came back to the father. And he would share this young man the story, won his inheritance early, he got it. We don't know whether he got more later on in life when his father passed. I don't know about that. That doesn't matter there. But he did, if he stayed faithful to his heavenly father, he will receive an inheritance that we're going to receive that's for us who are saints in the light. So the Word of God here calls this a transformation of switching kingdoms. We're now in a kingdom of the marvelous light of the gospel. We are people who enjoy light, and we're people that have been brought into light. But that tells us that we must be willing to help others find their way into the light also. We know we're all saved individually. You can't be saved for what I did or don't do or vice versa. But we've been given a privilege to be called out of this dark kingdom now into a kingdom of light where we can help others find their way out. We found our forgiveness, he says there in that verse 13 and 14, that we have redemption. And we know we can be saved right now. The Bible says that in 1 John, these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. It doesn't mean that you can't turn your back on the Lord sometime in the future, but we can know right now that we are saved. We don't have to wait till some people say judgment day. People say when the Lord comes back, we'll know then. We can know right now. So we've been changed by the light of the gospel. I think we have a privilege to go back into that world that we came out of, but going back different, going back equipped by the Lord, going back that we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, and we have the whole armor of God on us, and we can go back there and help others find their way out. We can never do enough works to merit salvation. We look back to the story of the rich young ruler. Humanly speaking, he did everything that the Lord asked him about. Have you done these things? He said, I've done things all my life. I've kept the law. Kept everything. Now, he probably hadn't kept everything, but he told the Lord he did. But even if he had kept everything in the law, he still would not make it to heaven. We may do everything the Bible says about what we should do as Christians. But sometimes our attitudes will keep us out. But we're to be a people who let our light shine, a people who work because we are saved, not to be saved. The Lord, I think, has a right to expect that his people be the best workers that he has. The word saint we mentioned earlier, are you a saint? Are you holy? The word saint scripturally means one who is sanctified. He or she is one who has came out of that dark kingdom of the devil and now in the kingdom of the Son of his love. Paul calls Christians saints in Ephesians 1:1 and Philippians 1:1. I think the Apostle John in 2 John uses that phraseology. He also uses the term in the book of Jude. We're called saints. So all Christians are saints. In that sense there that we're to be a separated people, a sanctified people. The lesson in Sunday school had been about how God expected his people to be separate in those days there. He had all the law of Moses, dietary laws, all kind of laws, what to do and not do, keep them separate from the people around them. So they were separate also. But it says that means to be separated, to be sanctified. Now, sometimes we don't live up to that word. We don't live up to it. The Lord said that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I think that was mentioned in Kevin's sermon this morning in John 14, or Luke 15, excuse me. That, and they might ask, well, are we doing that? Are we living daily for him who died for us? We must continue to build ourselves up in the most holy faith, live our lives for Jesus, knowing that we can impact a lost world. Kevin talked about how the gospel impacted a lot of folks at Woodland last week. People realizing that the gospel is real, that Jesus is real, that he can meet the needs of people, not just way back there in history, not just the needs of our parents or grandparents, but the needs right now in the here and now. Christianity is a here and now religion. So we must live daily knowing that we can impact a lost world also. Some people go around the world to share the gospel. We look at our financial report. We're supporting missionaries and works all over this world. And that's great to do that. We need to do that. People are serving the Lord in this country also. Like I've said many times, when it says go into all the world and preach the gospel, world means your sphere of influence. And that may be in your job or in your school or in your home or really should be at all those really perhaps. But we can impact a lost world. We can help them find the Lord through the gospel, and we can help them be equipped for great service. It's like the Lord doesn't make anybody become a Christian who must want to be one. I think the same thing is true when once we're in Christ. The Lord doesn't make you grow as a Christian. We've all seen people who may be Christians for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, 60 years, who really haven't grown or know much more about the Word of God than they knew in those days there. It says in the Great Commission that we are to help teach them everything the Lord taught us. Now, you become a Christian individually, but I think once people come out of the water, have their sins forgiven, Holy Spirit indwelling us, then I think we as fellow believers have responsibility to help the other ones grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. People helped us do that, so we need to help them also. And we need to, I think, live for the Lord in front of them. Kevin talked about how young men and women need role models that show them what a godly person is. So we need to live out our faith. One thing to have your faith and believe it, know it, and know what it says, know why you should do it, but another thing to actually go out and do it. If we're not seeking to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, we're not following the Lord completely. I think in the last verse of 2 Peter in that short epistle he wrote there, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, we have a command given by the Lord through Peter. He says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Now we know that growth is different in every one of us. We know physically we see children who grow faster. Somebody may be kind of basically real short or something, and then all of a sudden over one summer they jump up a bunch of inches and they're big, tall, going to play basketball. And, you know, that way there, but they grow, but we expect growth, and we don't see growth, physical growth, we are worried. We want to have the doctor check everything out. We should do that there. So the Lord, I think, has a right to expect us to be grow spiritually. We know that some of us don't grow as fast, like marathons. We have a marathon run. Some people run real fast and finish it in record time. Some people are running a little slower. People are doing what they call this power walk. Or some people are walking real fast, or somebody's just walking normally, and somebody's just really slow in their walking. Somebody might be on crutches, somebody might be in a wheelchair, whatever. But their goal is to reach that finish line down there at the end of that marathon to receive a prize for just finishing. Now, there's a main prize for the winner, but you have a prize for just finishing. It's like in the Bible, that's about duration. We're told we're in the Lord's army for a duration. We need to use all the resources that he has had. In our last few minutes here of closing, we want to talk about how the Lord wants us to have an abundant life. If we are saints, if we are his people, and he said that I came that you might have life, have it more abundantly. The Lord wants us to have everything there is. Our Heavenly Father's up there in heaven with all these gifts to give us. He told the Ephesian church that we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. I think some of us have, maybe not here, some people have the idea that God doesn't really want to give us these gifts. He's kind of stingy, but he's not that way. The Bible says he wants to give it to us. He's like the right kind of father who cares for his children. We know some people didn't have a father. They grew up, didn't know their father. I never knew my father. I have a grandfather I lived with, Laverne's father. But anyway, there, so we don't have a father figure. But here we have this father figure here that can take the place of those there, earthly fathers. And we see in the Bible an example of how to live. Jesus told one of, in a lesson, Kevin again said that, one of them said, show me the Father. He said, you've seen him, you've seen me, you see how I acted, how I reacted, how I dealt with these circumstances and how I did that. I lived out my faith, or his life as Christ. So Paul tells us back in Colossians 3 again. Colossians 3 you go to. Colossians 3 and verse 1. We'll talk about that for a moment or two. Colossians 3 and verse 1 tells about how we must make a change in life. We now are, since we are Christians, it says here, if then, it might be since you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you shall also appear with Him in glory. So he's saying that if we're a Christian now, our mindset, our lifestyle should show a difference. People ought to be able to see a difference in our lives. So it says, set your minds. That means we make a deliberate choice. Now it's accept the Lord, but deliberate choice here to serve Him. We must be willing to put everything out of our hearts and minds that's detrimental. In that same third chapter in verse 5, it says, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience. And then down there, in which you once yourselves also walked when you lived in them, but now you yourselves are to put off these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with the deeds. He goes on down. But whatever the Lord tells us to put something off or get rid of something, He gives us the alternative down there in verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy, beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ also forgave you, you must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Then down in verse 17, it says, whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So he talks about the fruit of the Spirit back in Galatians 5. We must also realize, I think, that once we become a Christian, these things don't happen automatically. We would hope, we'd like to have it where we, if we're baptized into Christ, come out of the water, and then everything is great. We go home that night. I'd be facetious, put that Bible on.